You don't prepare in a battle, you prepare for the battle. You don't play away your preparation. It's a season. It will not always be there. You know, I've said this to people. If you rush out when you are not prepared, your generation will not forget you. They will note you and not forget that you are a mediocre. Any soldier that gets to the battlefield then start learning how to shoot a gun is a dead soldier. You are not in ministry to compete, you are in ministry to war. If you want to compete at all, the only person you should compete against is yourself.
Pastor Femi Lazarus has been commissioned to go raise God's end time army. Sit back and be blessed as a good soldier of Christ.
I commend you to God's grace. You do this very well. In the name of Jesus.
Zina meko shinte makata vakubrene maketika. Zende meko sigra halada bakande oko shinte. We bless you, Jesus. Lende makande oko shinte bakande rako shinte. Thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name, the faithful, your gracious, your merciful. We bless you. Mande kasha la bakante rakati atamalate. Zinemente ko sigra hati kwende me ko shuti. Membe kesa la bakande rakatika. Bless your name, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Until my only gaze is you, Spirit keep brooding over me till I look more like you. Until my holy gaze is you, Spirit keep brooding over me till I look more like you. We'll pray in tongues. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost together. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost together. Yakala batike ne makashate, manta kabati kashate bakati, lende makande bakashate, zina makan sheke makate, zile mekende broko feni makashate, sigre ne meko shente makati kereko shente. Jesus, Jesus, thank you. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless you. Shala makata makarana makode. Until my holy gaze is you, Spirit keep brooding over me till I look more like you. Can we sing that song together? Until my holy gaze is you, Spirit keep brooding over me till I look more like you. Shalamakate. Until my holy gaze is you, Spirit keep brooding over me till I look like you. Shalamakate. Until my holy gaze is you, Spirit keep brooding over me till I look more like you. Shene makatesha. Until my holy gaze is you, Spirit keep brooding over me till I look more like you. Shente makatesha. Until my holy gaze is you, Spirit keep brooding over me till I look more like you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. All right, so I have very strong knowledge in my spirit to make this public tonight. We've been having this series of Bible study for 3 weeks now, right? 3 weeks now, yes. And it's the topic, journeying from promise to fulfillment. If you can hear me well, just let me know. What those on the radio platform you can also hear, let me know. So we've traced the story of Abraham. It's a Bible study, the family Bible study. So just sit down where you are, feel relaxed, and let's. All right, wait. Okay, sorry about the network. So we've been studying about the life of David. We started by studying the life of Abraham. All right, so the link for the messages will be dropped, so you can download the messages. Amen. The link will be there. This is the third week, it's family Bible study. We've looked at Abraham, look at David. So I started by sharing how God spoke concerning the life of David. God actually spoke to his servant Samuel, very strange, unusual prophet. God said to go to the house of Jesse, for he has provided for himself a king amongst his sons. Samuel got to the house of Jesse and never said what he was pouring the oil for. Can you reduce the keyboard? Alright, so after Samuel poured the oil on David, 1 Samuel chapter number 16, David went back to keeping his father's sheep. Left to the whole family, Samuel had just showed up to get the people sanctified. Because that was the word that God said he should tell the people. Tell them you're coming, alright, for a sacrifice. So he just thought it was getting the people sanctified. So I laid foundation by saying that there are certain aspects of your destiny that it is important you are not aware of them, so you can fulfill them. Are you following what I'm saying? Alright, God will reveal himself to you. He will reveal your purpose to you. But the reason why the just will walk by faith is because the just always do not have or should not have the complete picture. Alright, so when you have the complete picture of what your life entails, then you need no faith. So the just walks by faith, because the walk of faith is a walk of continuous trusting in God, continuous culture of depending on God. Alright, so Hebrews 11 verse 6, the Bible said, for without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must first believe that he is, and then is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Alright, so the reason why we diligently seek God is because we actually don't have the complete picture. We know the future is bright. Certain aspect of the future has been revealed, but we don't know the whole future. So we have the responsibility to know the one that owns the future, and that's faith. Do you get that? The future is bright. We have a glimpse. God will show some parts here and there. We are not there yet. We don't know the totality of what the future is, but we can know the one that owns the future, and his name is Jesus. Because the Bible said he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So after the oil was poured on David in 1 Samuel chapter number 16, in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, the Bible described a situation where a man from Gath came, tall and full of stature. His name was Goliath. The Israelites were pitching on one mountain, the host of Philistines on another mountain. Goliath showed up in the valley and requested that the Israelites should not bother going into battle with them, but rather they should send a champion that will fight with him. And the contract of the fight was a very mysterious one. He said, if you can defeat us, we'll be your slaves. And if you can defeat us, we'll be your slaves. If we defeat you, you'll be our slaves. So at that point, Saul was on the throne, but he was not in the gap. Because leadership is not about the one on top, it is about the one in gap. So, it was a direct confrontation with the throne that God has placed to the hands of David. But I also laid a foundation that Goliath requested that the Israelites should fight him in the valley. Don't fight the enemy in his territory. He will beat you with experience. Fight the enemy in your territory. And I give example of the eagle and the snake. When the eagle wants to kill a snake, eagles love snakes a lot. The eagle will take the snake up into the sky, because snakes can't bite in the sky. Then the eagle will be using the claws to disintegrate the head and then the beak. Are you seeing that? Then the eagle drops the snake down forcefully, then picks the snake up again into his own realm. But David came, said, I told you how that Saul gave David his own hammer, and then said, wear my hammer, fight Goliath with this hammer. But David said he would not wear what he has not tested. Before you borrow strategy from anyone, check if it has worked for them. Sometimes the mentality that someone is trying to pass into you is a mentality that has not worked for them. So, you need to be full of faith enough to pull it off and embrace what God is giving. So David, the little shepherd boy, picked up 5 stones and a sling and rolled it, alright, and then shot the stone into the head of Goliath. And the Bible said it sank and Goliath fell on his face. And I showed you how that was the same way Dagon fell when the Ark of Covenant was brought into the temple of Dagon. It is a sign that Goliath did not fall to David. He fell to the force behind the stone. He fell on his face. And because David said, you have come against me with a stone and with a sword, but I have come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. The Bible said, some trust in chariots and others in horses, but we put our trust in the name of the Lord. So the moment Goliath fell, David still moved over him and then cut off his head completely. Pastor here at the way said a very powerful statement that blessed my heart. He said, before you allow the devil use you, remember Goliath. The devil will use you to make noise for 40 days and abandon you for a small boy to cut off your head. That's a very powerful statement. So Goliath fell and David cut off his head. Don't forget that at this point, David was still not aware that he has been anointed as a king. Because Samuel never said anything. And this goes to those who work in prophetic ministry. It is not everything you see that you say. For instance, I know of a very young man that I see around. There's nothing looking special about his life now. Now I'm prophesying. Nothing looks special at all about his life. Nothing. Normal, doing normal things. What I saw a man of stature, and I saw a man of strength. I saw a man that will grow to become a major pillar in the body of Christ. But to say it is to pump the man up with pride early, and he may never get there. So this calls for wisdom for those who walk in the prophetic. Let's learn from Samuel. It is not everything you see that you say. Saying everything to prove that you walk in the prophetic is to destroy the agenda of God. As a matter of fact, the prophetic ministry is first and foremost a prayer ministry. There is no solid prophetic office without solid priesthood, the office of a priest. And what do you do as a priest? You pray, you intercede. So there are many things that God will reveal to you in your office as a prophet that is revealing for them not to be shared is revealing for them to be prayed about. Are you following what I'm saying? If your esteem is not intact in ministry, you will use the roofing sheet of building for the foundation. Paul said, I as a wise master builder have laid well the foundation, and let everyone be careful what they build. So, a skillful builder is not one who just put things on top. A skillful builder is one who knows when to put what. Are you following what I'm saying? There are faces in people's life that certain things are revealed, but that is not the face for them to know. Huh? Those things have been revealed. God is making them apparent to those who have prophetic insight around them. But that also is not the face for them to know. So Samuel poured the oil on David, but said no word. And he left. So after David killed Goliath, the women of the land started singing, Saul has killed his thousands, David has killed his 10,000. Then that day, I think I need to also say this, that it was not just David, Jesse and his brothers that were ignorant of what the oil has come to do. Even the devil did not know. Now you ask, why won't the devil know? The devil is not omnipresent, neither is he omnipotent. There are certain things that God does. Look at the story of Jesus. Despite the fact that prophecies had gone ahead of him, that right unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall rest upon, despite the fact that prophecies went ahead, the Bible still said, if the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So the devil most times cannot accurately interpret prophecies. It takes one with the Spirit of God to interpret what the Lord is saying. So the devil does not have the Spirit of God. So scripture has proven all that. When words go out prophetically, the devil is still ignorant. Because 5 years after David was anointed, that was when Goliath was showing up. Amen. So, women of the land started singing, Saul has killed his thousands, David has killed his 10,000. When they start comparing you with your fathers, run. I like to say that again. When they start telling you at 30 that you have broken the records that men like Pastor Hia Adewe created, run. Many young ministers would have had peace, but they fell victim of comparison. Started comparing you. Because Saul was never jealous of David because David killed Goliath. Saul became jealous because of the song. And from that day, David knew no rest. Kept running. So I've thought into it. That's why I said if you get the message, this is me just paraphrasing. They will drop the link for the message. Our pastors are online. Just drop the link so you can download the message. So, in 1 Samuel chapter number 21, after several attempts of Saul to kill David, in 1 Samuel 21, David ran to the house. He ran to Ramah. Sorry? Yes. So David ran to Ramah. No, that's not 1 Samuel 21. Yeah. Alright, in 1 Samuel 21, David ran to Ahimelech. But before running to Ahimelech, David ran to Samuel. Amen. Saul wanted him dead. So he ran to Samuel. Thank you, Lord. There's someone watching currently now with appendicitis. I'm seeing a complication. I'm seeing appendicitis, and I'm seeing you using a drug to reduce the pain. You've been saying it's ulcer. The Lord is taking away that pain. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That's by the way. Amen. All right. So Saul, David ran to the house of Samuel. Ran to Samuel because Saul wanted him dead. The Bible said something very powerful, that Samuel stood in the midst of the prophet prophesying. And as David got there, Samuel heard from him. He asked him to stay inside. Then Saul sent his men, and they saw Samuel in the midst of the prophet prophesying. The Bible said the moment they saw Samuel, all the men that Saul sent started prophesying also. Samuel had not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but he was standing in the integrity of his office as a prophet. They came to kill somebody. Samuel has not said a word. He has not even rebuked them. They only saw him in his office as a prophet. Then there was an overflow of the spirit of prophecy. And the Bible said they all began to prophesy. Then he sent another man. They saw Samuel and they began to prophesy. Sent another set of men. They saw Samuel and began to prophesy. Then Saul himself went. The moment he set his eyes on Samuel, the Bible said he prophesied all day and he laid down naked. So much so that people started asking, is Saul also amongst the prophets? The same way they asked when he was ordained. But in 1 Samuel chapter number 22, we saw how that the same Saul that prophesied still went after Samuel to Ahimelech. Alright? Meaning that a man may have the gifts of the Spirit, it can never replace the fruit of the Spirit. He prophesied, rose up from prophecy, and still went on with his agenda to kill a young man. Let me quickly say this to you. Sometimes the enemy is not after you. The enemy is after the size of your destiny. As a matter of fact, the confrontations you face is a reflection of the size of your destiny. The reason why you cry and you ask, why me? Why should I be the one that will go through all this? Is because God never gave you the full picture. He gave you an hint so you can keep trusting Him. The size of the battles that confront you is a reflection of the size of your destiny. Amazingly, many destiny carriers ended up committing suicide because they felt probably God didn't like them. The enemy doesn't pursue after empty vessels. If you are not a threat to him, he won't come after you. Are you seeing that? So Saul was after David. And pay attention. Saul also was a king that was ordained. So in most cases, the enemy end up using the anointed against the anointed. He uses the ignorant anointed against the spirit-filled anointed. And that's why the moment you can set up structures to walk in love and never be one that the enemy will use to bring down your fellow brethren, then you are mature. Because the proof of a mature Christian is maturity in love. One of these days I'm going to probably teach on the power of love, such that I will show you how that the devil can never win any warfare, particularly when it involves two people, until there is love deficiency. So Saul kept chasing after David to kill him. Now something very important happened in 1 Samuel 21 when David ran to Ahimelech. He heard of the bread that was in the Holy of Holies. He said, he asked Ahimelech, do you have common bread? 1 Samuel 21, if you have your Bible, just note the scriptures. And Ahimelech said, no. Let me read where he said that. 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse... Alright, 1 Samuel 21, verse 4. And the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under mine hand, but there is aloe bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. There is aloe bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. There is aloe bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. There is aloe bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. There are heights you can never operate in with sexual sins. There are dimensions you will never taste with sexual sins. There is hallowed bread, if the young men have at least kept themselves from women. One of the questions I like to ask you, every young man, is where are you trading your strength? Where are you trading your strength? Samson traded his on the laps of Delilah. I said this years ago, that you cannot sleep on the laps of Delilah and wake up to perform the miracles of Elijah. You cannot sleep on the laps of Delilah and wake up to perform the miracles of Elijah. There is hallowed bread, if the young men have at least kept themselves from women. One of the reasons why many young folks are struggling to ascend height, particularly in these days and times with so much destruction and so much distraction, is the complication of sexual sins. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. There is hallowed bread, if the young men have at least kept themselves from women. That's a very powerful word. And I have to keep thinking about that statement over and over and over again. There are things that God will be able to trust me with if I will not follow after youthful lust. Because there is so much assumption about ministries that are being propagated by young people. Alright, come. There is so much assumption. There's so much about ministries run by young people. It is believed that many cannot keep themselves pure. And many are proving it to be true. Many are desecrating the holy things that the Lord is trusting them with. That the ones who stand on the altar to give hallowed bread can't give those hallowed breads again because they are not kept. If God can help us deal with the issue of lust in our generation, then many stronger men will emerge. There is hallowed bread, if the young men can at least, or have at least kept themselves from women. Because the question right now is, to all the things that the Lord has showed to you, can He trust you? And these are questions I have to ask myself every day. My Father in heaven, can you still trust me with those amazing visions you showed to me? Do I still understand what it means to stand in the office of a priest? Am I still dwelling in the secret place of the Most High? Am I still dwelling under the shadows of the Almighty? Have I set the Lord continually before me so that I may not dash my foot against the stone? Can God really trust me with unknown bread? Because it's a very powerful secret. There is unknown bread in the young men that at least keep themselves from women. You know, I read from Billy Graham, and I remember that I had to sit down with one of my friends, and we had to agree on the Billy Graham code of ministry. Never travel with women when going for ministration. Call them daughters of aunties, except your wife. You cannot stay in an hotel room with a woman alone. Call it old model, but I call it wisdom. Wisdom is fear. Fear is wisdom in the face of danger. To not overrate yourself. To not assume you are the mighty man. The man who cannot fall. The one who cannot make any mistake. The strong man. The one who just go about touching girls indiscriminately, saying, "I'm powerful. I know who I am." There is aloe bread. If the young men can at least keep themselves from women. So when David went to Ahimelech, the priest, he met a man there that the Bible said who was busy. The name of the man was Doeg, the Edomite. As a matter of fact, in verse 7 of 1 Samuel 21, the word the Bible used to describe Doeg is that now a certain man of the servant of Saul was there that day, the tent before the Lord. His name was Doeg, an Edomite. So Doeg was busy. He was detained before the Lord. That was what the Bible said. I don't know what that means. The Bible said he was detained before the Lord. He was detained before the Lord. But I can have some assumption of what it means to be detained before the Lord. Went for sacrifices that he wasn't done, or was mandated to stay there for a season of purification according to the custom of those days. What the Bible said is he was detained before the Lord. So he was there. When David had done eating the aloe bread, he took the sword of Goliath and left. In 1 Samuel 21 verse 11, David came to a king called Achish. And the Bible said, the servant of Achish said unto him, "Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing the song one another? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying Saul has killed his thousands?" Don't forget, I laid the foundation that it's only Samuel and God knew that David had been ordained as a king. David came to a place called Achish, and when he got there, he met the servant of that king, saying, "Is this not David, the king of the land?" And I said something to you yesterday, that when you hear men telling you by gossip the things you heard by prophecy, run. Don't just run. Pause and ask yourself questions. Have I been too loud? These men were saying jokingly
the most important part of David's life. Is this not David, the king of the land? Who told them he was the king? Was the king? How did they know? Because they were not perfect. So, in that 1 Samuel 21, David had to act mad. You can read from verse 11 downward. He acted so mad that saliva was dropping from his beard. And the king said, "Why have you brought a madman before me?" And I said something very important to you yesterday. That all the dimensions of your life are not for all places. There are places not to manifest certain dimensions of your life. If you have the privilege of preaching before the fathers, don't preach to prove to them that you are wiser. Don't preach to prove to them that you are more sound. Because actually you are not. Someone said something very powerful, and I think I need to say this for the sake of posterity. While you were passing through you learned basic mathematics, from basic fraction to body mass and to all those things. They gave you certain laws, true or not true? Yes. When you got to university, you discovered that all the things you thought you knew were jokes. I love mathematics. But one of the challenge is that sometimes you just discover that some of the laws you think you know, they are jokes. And do you stay? Because you are now in university and you are discovering more things. Do you go ahead to say that those who taught you in primary school were not sound? They used that curriculum for you because that was the level that you were. God has raised different men. God has raised different men for different people at different stages. It will be sheer ignorance to come to a point to look at some men on the basis of their simplicity and say they are not sound. Paul plant, Apollo waters, but God gives the increase. Are you following me? Very important. We need to keep up. Amen. So in 1 Samuel chapter number 22, very important here, the Bible said David departed from there and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down to that with him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. Sometimes, have you ever found yourself in a situation where people with some kind of situations are following you, and you ask, why me? When you get to a new place, they are the ones that will come, and they just want to share about their lives with you. They just want to tell you about the issues they are going through. One of the major problems we have in the body of Christ now is that those who went through so that they can use the wisdom they have gained in the place of going through to rescue the next generation that will go through, they come back lying that they have not been through. Are you following what I'm saying? They come back lying that they have not been through. They come back lying that they've not been through. Many deny and say many things and deny the next generation their healing. You went through some things it didn't destroy you. The reason why it didn't destroy you is that so that others through your life may see light. Don't lie about your scars. Don't lie about your past. Don't deny them their healing. Don't lie about the things you've gone through. Most people who are going through issues, I think I remember sharing a story of a time that I was in a place. I was in a place. And this young man was a cultist. He set themselves to attack me because his girlfriend gave her life to Christ in one of my meetings. Got born again. Yeah, got filled with the Holy Ghost. It was about 9 years ago. So they came, set themselves against me to attack me. And in the process, the Holy Ghost arrested them and they gave their life to Christ. And when that happened, they joined the church. But you know, sinners don't just change like that. They still have a long way to go. Made one or two mistakes, and one day prayer point was raised in the church that God should off his candle. God should off his light. Because he has come to destroy the girls in the church. And from that moment onward, that young man went back into the world. And he took several prayers, fastings, and visitations to have him come back. Sometimes a Christian who is judgmental thinks he's helping God, but it's a sign that he knows nothing about God. When people are rising in the body of Christ, who are those that the devil used to bring them down? Christians. Why did those who were discontented and those who were in distress follow that David? Because he was in distress too. Because he also was discontented. Are you following what I'm saying? He also was in distress, so they could identify him as their kind of captain. Christians don't share all their issues with everyone. They share with those they perceive can help them. Sometimes we just deny them by putting on our holier than thou attitude. You know, I used to go to with some friends to preach to some prostitutes, go to their hotels, preach to them. I remember one particular young lady, Joy. She's gone back now to she's working now in South South. Went there to preach to her, and I remember she has always known me as a pastor who go around there for evangelism. When we asked her, can we come in? She said yes. The moment I sat down on her bed, she broke into tears. And said, Pastor, you sat down on my bed. Pastor, you, man of God, sat down on my bed. Pastor, you sat down on my bed. And she broke into tears. She was wailing. And tears was coming out of her face. She kept crying. And she held my legs. And she was just saying one statement. Ah, I have suffered. This life, I have suffered. I don't like what I'm doing. Who will like it? There's no one to take care of me. I was sent out of our church. I was sent out of here. I have suffered. I will lead this walk. We have not preached. The only thing I did was to sit down on the bed with a fellow brethren that went with me. You know, sometimes you go preach to people and you give them the impression that you are better. You look at them and then you criticize them. You know, you cannot criticize people you don't know what it means to be in their shoes. Because in most cases, when these people are presented with the same opportunities that you have, they will be better. You know, Joy, we were able to contribute some amount of money for Joy. And by the grace of God, till now, left that place, went back to our village, I won't mention the place, and then started being here, while working as a hairdresser. But that statement keeps ringing on my heart. How, Pastor, you sat down on my bed. You. The reason why you struggle to preach is because you are trying to preach the good news when your life is the bad news. It will be difficult to represent Jesus if you are not a person of love. All those you should witness him to would have marked you. That you are not a person of love. You are the one that will talk them down and criticize them. It is so painful now that many have turned the altar, the pulpit of churches, as a weapon of mass destruction. When pastor is preaching, then you will know the pastors that pastor is. You will know the people that is angry with in church. I was asking God, praying and waiting upon the Lord for all times. And God said, son, stop fasting. I'll tell you one secret of all times. Say no evil of anyone anymore. Are you saying that? From now onward, say no evil anyone. Say no evil. He said, utterance is not the same as eloquence of speech. Utterance is guided speech. To have utterance is to say only what God once said. And this happens now in our world. People go to church and they come back more wounded. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Very important issues here. Let's go back to the issue of Doeg, the Edomite. He was there when David went there. And the moment Saul went to inquire about David, it was Doeg, the Edomite, that went to tell Saul that he went to Ahimelech the priest. Because that singular statement took away the life of Ahimelech. Saul killed him. As a matter of fact, let me give you the graphical description of what happened. The moment Saul called his servant and said, Ahimelech has betrayed him. Said today, Ahimelech, you will die and all your household. Are you seeing the risk? Because we are seeing Saul. If not that Samuel was a man of stature, would Saul not have done the same thing to Ahimelech to Samuel? To have killed Samuel with a sword? Network. Okay. Are you seeing that? So when Saul, please pay attention. I want you to listen to this well. Because I'm going to show you the reason why certain things are happening in the body of Christ. When Saul told his servant, he said, fall upon Ahimelech and kill him. The Bible said, none of the men of war could touch him. It was Doeg, the Edomite, that picked up his javelin and struck Ahimelech dead. As a matter of fact, Doeg just finished a retreat in the house of Ahimelech. Ahimelech had just finished blessing him. It was the same Doeg that killed over 80 of his family members and Ahimelech. Meaning that those that the devil will use to stand against the move of God in the body of Christ will be those who have tasted of part of the dimensions. They are the ones who feel we are also pastors. We know what it takes. We have the confidence to shut down their ministry. Let me ask you a question. If you say as a minister of God that a ministry is a false ministry, how do we respond to false ministries in the light of the way Jesus responded? I saw in the Bible, because I have to ask myself questions and I have to trust the Holy Spirit to give me answers. I read the story, the parable of the sower. The man who sowed good seed in his field, the Bible said when night came, men slept. Then the enemy sowed tears in the midst of it. The moment the man woke up the following day, the question was, who had done this? The enemy has done this. And what was the instruction? Let the tears and the wheat grow together. Simple as it is. Say, Pastor, how does that make sense? It makes a lot of sense. Because you didn't call anyone. It is not your duty to destroy anyone. Because sometimes you make it your own ministry to destroy people. And you don't even know when you start fighting against the kingdom you are to be building. Are you getting what I'm saying? God has not given anyone the ministry of pulling down. He has not given any minister the ministry of pulling down another minister. If you have not learned how to bridle your tongue, there is little God can do with you. Because in this kingdom, confidential matters does not just require anointing. It requires wisdom. If you have not learned how to bridle your tongue, there is little or nothing God can do with you. Many ministers talk too much. You say the things you shouldn't say. You talk down men like you have called them. I remember when our ministry started, a young minister said, I promise you, between now and the next 6 months, we will crash this ministry. And we started as a Bible study group. 6 years. It is not crashed. No man can destroy who they didn't call. Except you allow them. So I see the ministry of Glenn Diplomite so much in our generation. They will tell you, we are also Christians. We know what they are saying. They are liars. Who are they? Because if you check those that the devil used to bring down ministers of the gospel, they are also Christians. I'm saying this. When your zeal grows above your love level, you begin to destroy the kingdom you've been raised to build. The moment your zeal overshadows your level of love, you'll think you are building, but you'll be destroying. Let me say it a third time. The moment your zeal overshadows your level of love, you will think you are building, but you will be destroying. There are many who are busy destroying what God is in the name of Jesus. That is, they are destroying in Jesus' name. You know, you can be praying and fasting, and yet you are still walking in ignorance. So someone asked, so Pastor, why can I be saved? What's the way how people are praying? I know people who are praying and fasting, but yet they are still walking in error. The way out is very simple. Bible mapped it out. The book of Psalms, chapter number 51, verse 16. Psalms 51, verse 16. Thou delightest not in burnt offering, lest I would have given it to you. Thou delightest not in sacrifice, lest I would have offered it to you. But the sacrifice of God is a broken spirit and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Brokenness. You may seal. You can't go wrong with brokenness. You know, it breaks my heart when I see men parade themselves as broken. For you to be broken, you must have carried your cross and followed Jesus. Death on the cross is not a death of self. As a matter of fact, death on the cross is not the kind of death you can inflict on yourself. One more point. Death on the cross is not the kind of death you come out to boast about. Say, we are broken. The way I'm the man that God has dealt with. We are the army of dead men. Dead men don't call themselves dead. People look at them and say, these ones are dead to this world. Broken men don't call themselves broken. People look at them and say, these ones have been touched by God. The disciples never called themselves Christians. When they saw them, they saw that they were ignorant men, but they took note of them that they had been with Jesus. So Doeg, we have Doeg amongst us. They are offended, but they are still coming to church. So reduce the keyboard. They are angry about certain things, but they are still coming to church. When the enemy wants to come and destroy things in the church, they are the first that will say, I know the pastor's life. These are the areas you are to afflict him. Doeg the Edomite. You know, let me tell you this, the reason why you must be very humble. You can build fast and yet not build well. You may build zealously and yet you've not built the kingdom. Don't ever get to a point where you are more passionate about the work than you are more passionate about your walk with God. You may build very fast and yet you're not building well at all. And this calls for sober reflection. Because at the end of the day, all that matters is the day I will stand face to face with the Lord God of glory. He is the one that will measure what I've built. Men are not powerful because they are popular. They are powerful because they are built according to pattern. Because I've never seen a more superficial generation than mine. The moment I am known, then the assumption comes that I'm a general. I know of generals of faith who don't even have access to mobile phones. And yet they are getting to places that we can't get to. I know of mighty men who left great works to do ministry. And yet, they are not on Facebook, social media. Let me ask you a question. In whose book do you want to appear? God's book or the book of men? That they write a book in your generation about kingdom generals. And your name is number one. But yet you stand before God and your works are witness. Because dead works are powerful works that are done out of ulterior motives. They are works, but the motives are wrong. I don't rate men by their works, I rate men by their hearts. Because when Eliab stood before Samuel, and Samuel said, surely the Lord anointed his head, God said, don't look at his height or his content or his stature, for I've refused him. It looks exactly like the person I'm rejecting also. So all the noise we make and all those things, they are fantastic. But just to inform you that God does not rate men the way we rate men. Let this make you calm. If what God has called you to do is to be an usher, do it with pride and joy. It's not about the one that raised the dead. It's about the one that said yes to God's instruction. Because it's possible to raise the dead to prove a point. We are just not getting this fact. We are not just getting this fact. Everyone seems to want to come to that point where they are known, where they are called for meetings. When I go for all those meetings, I come back most times with weight in my heart. And I'm saying, Lord, we need discipleship. We need training as the body of Christ. Because people will fall under the anointing and make us look like we are powerful, only to discover that they didn't change. The one that fell under the anointing root woke up and root again. The one that fell under the anointing as a fornicator rose up still fornicating. But just that now they combine it in tongues. The one that fell under the anointing as a liar still lies. So we need men who will sit people down. Apart from that also, please don't get me wrong, impartations are powerful. It just depends on whose hand is coming on your head. Tell people not all hands are empty. But beyond impartation, God wants you built. He wants you trained. He wants you built. He wants you trained. My heart bleeds for a generation of men who are anointed but not taught. They are anointed but not taught. Don't forget, I say you may do it quick and yet not do it right. Speed is powerful, but direction is more important. Amen. So Doeg moved against the man he had just finished retreat in his house and killed that man and all his children. Probably when Doeg was in the house of Ahimelech, some of the children must have been the ones serving him water, serving him food. But little did they know that their life was still up to hand in the hands of Doeg. And I'm saying that these men are still amongst us. How do they get on the IPD website the things that senior pastors say on their platforms? Because we have to have the Edomites amongst us. How did they know on those blogs the confidential things that those pastors, they didn't even put them on TV in their churches? How did they get to know? Because we have to have the Edomites amongst us. The confidential things that pastors will say amongst their people, how will it get to social media and be made to look like what they are not saying? Because we have Doeg, the Edomite amongst us. But where I'm going actually is that you will not know when you are becoming one. That's a very serious issue. You will not know when you are already becoming one. The moment you feel you are not in the position to determine who is doing it right or wrong. Your primary assignment is to focus on your ministry. Gather ministers of God outside and we start washing our dirty linen. You can do those things and yet still feel anointed under it. But that is not the proof that you are doing the right thing. Still have dwelt the Edomites amongst us. Sometimes, the issue with them is that they have unanswered questions. They have what? Unanswered questions. For the sake of the confidentiality of this place, I will not give example of questions, but I will just give general overview. Questions like, why do Christians die early? Why should it happen? People who are actively serving God and doing His will, why should they die? I did an apologetics or an apologia on that subject. Go get the message, let there be. They will share the message link again. These questions were answered. Let me say something very strong. There is a generation of men I'm more afraid of, and that's the generation of men that says we don't question people because they have gone ahead of us. Don't question them. Anything they say is correct, whether it looks right or wrong. As much as it looks like honor, it is still wrong. Because the moment you have a generation that whose questions cannot be asked, then you will have a generation that will get answers from the devil. Every growing believers have questions. Let them ask their questions in peace. When they do ask those questions, don't make them look like fools for asking. Because they are the same ones that the enemy later sit upon their lives and provide wrong answers for them. Are you following what I'm saying? Very important. Another thing that turns out men like Doeg the Edomite is grief. Lost his wife, lost his child, while he was actively serving God, and became offended. I said, all these things they are teaching in church must be a lie. The devil is already building another man in his own arsenal. Your experience does not invalidate the integrity of God's nature. Don't use your experience to judge who God is. Let God alone be true and every man a liar. So when we have the generation of dread, the Edomites, they are usually very zealous but yet destructive. Very powerful but yet damaging. Very anointed but yet void of love. The moment you have this indices forming in a man's life, then you can declare that the devil is already building something. Now let me speak to pastors. What do you do with men like Doeg, the Edomite? Those that God has used you to build, but yet will still turn against you. Because these are have multiple facets. What do you do with men like Doeg, the Edomite? Number one, never be offended. The moment you become offended as a pastor, the oil on your head will begin to stink. You will begin to destroy with what has been given to you to heal. Many ministers are pained, they are just not aware. Is it possible for the devil to instigate the one that God used you to raise against you? Yes. If these things happen to Jesus, you are not better than your master. The reason why it was Judas, don't forget, Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, the devil has chosen to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you. The reason why the devil wanted the one who is close to Jesus to betray him is so that Jesus would not just go to the cross, he will die offended. When they give you offenses, don't take it. I was pastoring in a church some years ago, about 8 years ago. A young lady walked up to me and said, Pastor Femi Lazarus, I just want to let you know, I don't know why I just hate you. I said, sorry? What did you say? I mean it. I just want you to know. I've tried to help it, but I don't know why I just hate you. I said, why? I don't know. Why can't everyone just like you? I said, oh. I said, don't worry, I'll be praying for you. Particularly that your eyes of understanding will be enlightened. Because life is not easy for the blind. It doesn't pull any strings from you. They hate you. It's okay. Don't ever take offenses. One of the major causes of offenses in ministry is entitlement mentality. That feeling that because I've done this for this person, that fellow is obligated to do this back. Because God has used me for this person, then he's obligated to do this back. Entitlement mentality breeds offenses. Don't feel entitled to anyone's blessings. God used it to pray for someone. They got a contract that runs into millions. They are not obligated to give you. You are a solid minister when you don't expect from men what only God can give. Sorry, this thing may look too heavy. It may look like I'm teaching the generation of men not to know what they are doing. Not so. Because you might need to wait for me to land. Anyone that God can bless and then become irresponsible in terms of giving has proven in the first place that what the prosperity does receive will not last. Because the Bible said money can develop wings and fly away. Don't feel entitled to anything as a minister of God. the moment you feel entitled, the devil will instigate them not to do it for you. Don't feel entitled. Your worst nightmares may come on your birthdays. When you feel they're obligated to make a cake, they're obligated to buy me this, they're obligated to buy that. As much as what I'm saying may not seem to make sense, if you are a minister, you will know what I'm saying. The moment you get yourself free from expectations, your life will be a lot easier. You'll be very free. You'll be a lot happier. There is never frustration where there is no expectation. Because amongst the people that God has given to you, there are dual diplomats there. They are everywhere. God will use you to bless them, but they are still coming back against you. Now you ask, Pastor, is it possible to know as a pastor that somebody is going to later come back against you in ministry? Yes. It's called discernment. So what do you do with such men? There are two ways you may respond. Hold on. There are two ways you may respond. Number one, you may discern and then fall victim of fear. And you start acting out of fear and create what you have discerned. Number two, you may discern and do what Jesus did. The devil has chosen to pray for you and to sift you like wheat, but have prayed for you. Meaning that occasionally amongst the people God is using you to lead, there will always be people that the devil is sitting upon their life to use against you. You are only a mature minister and do not become insecure. You are a mature minister because sometimes you will react against what you are perceiving as though they have done it. And then you create a monster in people. And let me quickly give you a warning. Suspicion and discernment are not the same thing. The moment you become suspicious, you have blocked your eyes of understanding. You no longer be able to see prophetically. So suspicion is not discernment. Amazingly, these are very serious ministry matters. Let me even know. Do you understand what I'm saying at all? Is it making any sense? Hello? Is it making any sense? Well, for those of us who are ministers, we know what I'm talking about. Whether you are commenting or not, or you choose, you know what I'm talking about. And your worst nightmare will start simply because you are expecting people to do what only God should have done. So, don't become Doeg the Edomite. And you also have to make sure that when you have one around you, don't react. Respond. Let me say this to you. There are people in your ministry that the devil wants them destroyed. They will only be destroyed when you stop loving them. They will do everything wrongly. They will accuse you. They will speak against you. They will criticize you. As a matter of fact, the minister, that the shepherd that God will be happy with on the last days is the one that can go after one, after that lost sheep. The lost sheep is not a goat. The lost sheep is still a sheep. Because we are quick to call lost sheep goats. Still a sheep. But they behave like goats. Still sheep. When the devil wants to destroy somebody in your ministry, there is no way you can successfully destroy them without your permission. And the only way to get your permission is that they will use them to offend you. You move them against you. The moment you as the shepherd can get to the point where you start raining accusations against them, cursing them, and saying all that, then the devil has the both of you where he wants you. Ah, of course, by now, probably if you have been enjoying the dealings of God before, you can tell now that what we are dealing with is not on the surface. I just wish you can pray that, Father, please me till I can no longer cooperate with the devil. Deal with me till you can trust me with a sheep that looks like a goat. And you are aware that when they come under this shepherd, they'll be restored. Deal with me till I can be trustworthy in your kingdom. Pray this prayer. Tell God, help me. Anoint me as a true shepherd. Anoint me, Lord. Help me. Help me, Lord, my Father, my God. Please help me. Father, my God, please deal with me, Lord. Deal with me till the devil can no longer be able to use me to bring down any Christian. Till I will no longer be the one who will bring down any believer. Deal with me, Lord, till I can love the way you love. Till I can restore and stand as a shepherd the way you alone will. Expand my capacity. Expand my capacity. Father Lord, Rock of Ages, Ancient of Days. I'm now discovering that what it means to be a tenant in your kingdom goes beyond doing miracles. There has to be what building. You must have built me. Father my God, I don't just want to do a miracle as a child, only to still be useful in the hands of the devil. Deal with me. Until my only gaze is you, Spirit keep brooding over me, till I look more like you. Until my only gaze is you, Spirit keep brooding over me, till I look more like you. Until my holy gaze is you, Spirit keep brooding over me, till I look more like you. Until my holy gaze is you, Spirit keep brooding over me, till I look more like you. Shamakate. Until my holy gaze is you, Spirit keep moving over me, till I look more. I've seen somebody breaking down in tears. That's a broken spirit. I've seen someone. The Holy Spirit is on you, and the Lord is convicting you on several matters. That's a sign that your heart is contrite. Until my only gaze is you, Spirit keep moving over me, till I look more like you. Pray, 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 pray. But heaven doesn't look like you, that this manifests itself in me. Whatever doesn't show your grace, that is still reflected in me. Take it away, oh. Take it away. Take it away. Whatever doesn't look like you, that is manifesting itself in me. Whatever doesn't show your face, that is still reflecting in me. Take it away, oh. Take it away. Take it away. Take it away. How can you walk when you don't know the ways of the wind? How can you fly when you don't know the ways of the Spirit? How can you walk when you don't know the ways of the Spirit? His power is rocking, bringing everything in obedience to Christ. It's changing everything just want to look like a giant outside and yet a child on the inside. Father, my God, walk with me. Until my only gaze is you, Spirit, keep moving over me. Till I look more like you, Shalamakati. Until my only gaze is you, Spirit, keep moving over me. Till I look more like you. You know, I was with a friend of mine in his house, and he brought out a pamphlet, and I was seeing the ministers on the pamphlet, and I got attracted to one man there, and he said to me, he said, you see this man here, this man, and he personalizes the life of Jesus. He said, what a testimony. What kind of testimony do we want? That we are the miracle workers, or that we are like Christ? That I'm so anointed, or that when they see me, they have seen Christ. I said to myself, what kind of testimony do I want? That I'm full of the anointing or full of Jesus. Until my holy gaze is you, Spirit, keep building over me. Till I look more like you. Until my holy gaze is you, Spirit, keep brooding over me. Till I look more like you. Ashante. God, don't stop till I look like you. Build me. Help me. Don't abandon me to myself. Lion of the tribe of Judah. Christ, Lord, help me, Ancient of Days. Help me. Help me. Help me. Thank you, Father. Amen. Jesus, mighty name, we are praying. I want to pray. You're watching me online. You're listening via the radio platform. You want to give your life to Jesus. You want to rededicate yourself to Jesus. Just place your hands on your chest wherever you are. And the power of God is going to touch you, and it's going to convict you. Conviction is determined by the level of light you're operating in. Sometimes you don't have to be a sinner to be convicted. Just that when a new level of light comes so close to you, that there is more. Put your hands on your chest. I pray for you in the name that is above all names. That the Lord will strengthen you in your walk with Jesus. He will uphold you. He will fill you with His Spirit. He will make you strong in your inner man. From now onward, you will no longer be able to touch things that God hates. You will be very dedicated to Jesus. So shall it be. Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. Lord.
True transformation is evident for doers and not just hearers of the word. Be a doer of these words of transformation.
To reach us, send an email to femlazarus326@gmail.com. Stay blessed.